Good morning. Last time we were up here, Marcus and I told a joke, and we think it went pretty well, so we have another joke for you today. At my school, we do joke of the day every morning. It's my favorite part of the announcement, so. Are you ready? Marcus, are you ready? Okay, here's our joke. When someone needed a boat made, what did the people in town say?
We know a guy.
Welcome here. If you're visiting us, we have a nursery downstairs for the children 1 to 5. It's a parent volunteer nursery, so it starts after children's message. There's also a quiet room in the back where my son is hanging out. Hi. So if you have young children and they need to move, that's totally understandable, and you're welcome to use that space. And then we have the kids' bins for kids. There's coloring and other activities. Callan likes those, and so those are in the back that way. If you're interested. Okay, announcements. One thing from the bulletin I want to highlight is if you're able to, please consider bringing in food for the community care bins. We have 2 bins always located in the foyer, so if you bring in food on Sunday mornings, we can help fill those up, and then they can come pick them up for us. Okay, our visioning process. If you are interested in volunteering for a particular team, and those were discussed last week, and the teams are also out on the table near the donation box, there's a paper to sign up. Please include your name and the team you would like to join. You can also send an email to the email address in the bulletin. And I like this, too. If you have any feedback or comments or suggestions about any of this visioning process that's going on, you can also email that email address and bring your concerns there. Please read your bulletin for more announcements, but I did want to say that the kids were super excited on Thursday to have the new coat hooks downstairs. If you've seen those, they can hang up their own coats now. It's so great. So thank you to Church Council for doing that. That was really appreciated. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer before we start. Lord, please prepare our hearts today. We are grateful that Pastor Marty can be here with us. I want to pray for the visioning process. Please move anyone or place on their hearts a sense of urgency to use their gifts in this visioning process. Change is hard, but please help us to move forward in the ways that best serve our community and beyond what you would like us to do. Thank you again for bringing us all here together today safely, and be with us this morning as we worship together. For these things we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our first song this morning is called Glorious Day. Some of you may have heard it as our prelude song. Since it is a new song, you're welcome to remain seated if you'd like for this first one, just to listen to the lyrics and join in at any time you would like. And we'll stand for the next 2 songs.
It was my duty.
worship. you please be seated?
So now is our time for community sharing. And Elaine's coming with the microphone. If you have any joys or prayer requests, just put up your hand and Elaine will come by with the microphone.
Okay. Good morning. Ed mentioned a few weeks ago, or months ago, I guess, that Catherine Ferretti had been in a big accident. So I talked to Catherine's cousin, Terry Dick, this week and asked if I could share what she told me. Catherine came home from the hospital Wednesday. She's been in Shaver the whole time for rehabilitation. The car hit her on the side, so her arm was crushed and her leg was crushed against the console, so she has a rod in this arm, and a rod on the top of her leg, and a rod on the bottom of her leg. And she is relearning how to walk. And she is so, so thankful that there was no brain injury at all. She is 100%, and she's very thankful to God that she and her passenger were spared. So I think if we continue to pray for her to continue her rehabilitation and keep her in our prayers.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for prayers for little Carter. He has not had to have surgery. He was home from the hospital within a couple of days, and they only have to watch his eating, apparently. He is autistic, so I guess their digestive system is different. So he gets many little meals instead of little snacks instead of meals, and he is coming along really well. So thank you for prayers.
Thank you.
And thank God for prayers answered.
Yeah.
My sister's grandson, Dylan, was getting prepped for liver transplant. And he had an aneurysm in his heart. And he went unconscious and he hasn't come to. They rushed him to London and did the surgery. But his score for the transplant was really low. But the doctors there said if he comes to, he's at the top of the list. So we just have to pray that he comes conscious again. And I did appreciate all the prayers. Thanks.
I just want to thank everyone for the prayers because there is power in prayer. My aunt is now being transferred to full care in Tabor on Wednesday, which is the best news we could ever have. So thank you very much for all the prayers and comfort.
And what's your aunt's name? Sorry.
Elizabeth Bergen.
Elizabeth Bergen, thank you. Okay, thank you for all of your sharing. We'll pray together for all of these special people, and then after the Lord's Prayer will come up on the screen, right? Oh, thank you. It's ready to go. Okay. And then we can say that together in the way that you feel comfortable saying that prayer. Please bow your heads. Lord, we are very thankful to be here together today, and thank you for being with Elizabeth Bergen and that she does have a spot now in Tabor Manor. We want to bring Pastor Nick and his wife Megan to you as she undergoes her cancer treatments. Please guide the doctors in making the best decisions for her care. Thank you for bringing Catherine Ferretti home, and please help her as she works through this hard and long process of rehabilitation. Help her healing as she relearns to walk, and help those that are taking care of her to be patient and work with her in what she needs. Lord, we are thankful that Carter is home from McMaster, and please help his family as they watch his eating. Lord, we pray for Dylan. Please be with his parents. Please give them strength to go through this. And we also want to pray, Lord, for those who have things on their heart right now, whether it be different health issues or they know of friends or family that are going through things. Please be with them and their caregivers, that pray alongside them that healing and peace can occur. Lord, we are thankful and grateful for Family Day, and please bless our time together, however we spend our day, whether it be with friends who are also family. And we pray for those who are missing their loved ones or those that don't really have any family left. Please comfort those that have difficulty tomorrow or today, reminding them that you are with them as well. And Lord, we'd like to pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would the children please come up for children's message?
All right. Good morning, everyone. So, we're still recovering from our beautiful Family Day breakfast, right? That was delicious and so many good crafts as well. There we are. So I happen to know that for most of you, and maybe even all of you, last Thursday, something went home from school. Do you know what it was? Valentine's Day, that's a fun thing. Yeah, do you know Stephanie? You came home, sure, for a long weekend. Your report cards, yeah. Did anybody look at your report card? No? You did? What did it say? Was it good? Of course it was. You're all so smart, right? Did anybody get a particular comment or a grade that they're excited to share with friends here in our church? It was just all 10 out of 10, right? You are all so, so super smart in lots of different ways too, which is amazing. But you know what? God talks to us in the Bible about a really special kind of smartness. It's kind of like smartness to the next level. So in school, we go and we try to become smart about books and smart about math and smart about writing and smart about history and science and those kinds of things. But our Bible talks to us about something called wisdom. Have you ever heard that before? No, it's a fancy word that sometimes people say is the same thing as being smart. But the Bible tells us it is not. It is something extra. So if you can think, it's kind of like smart is like bread. Two pieces of bread. But wisdom is when you add something into the middle and make it an amazing sandwich. What would you like to have in your sandwich? What's your favorite thing? Mm-hmm. Pickles! Love it. So good. Stephanie? Egg salad, delicious. You know I love that. Yes, Veronica. Bananas, good choice. That's delicious. Marcus, what would you have in your sandwich? You can think on that. So many good options, right? When Tommy's not around, my favorite thing, peanut butter. Oh, I love peanut butter sandwiches. You know, the Bible tells us that wisdom is kind of like adding pickles, egg salad, bananas, peanut butter, and whatever else into our sandwich, and that makes it awesome. Let's read the Bible and find out what the pickles, egg salad are that make us wise. In Proverbs, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to read a couple of little key parts. There's one part that says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. There's two good ones, right? Loving and being faithful. Here's another one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that means counting on God, that he's going to be there for you no matter what. And here's another one. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Fancy word. Which means like praising him and giving the glory to God and saying what a beautiful day God's given us and what a beautiful family God has given all of you. And then honor the Lord with your wealth. Anybody have any guesses what that means? Mm-hmm. It is a kind of a love, right? A love where we give to others, where we might donate or bring a little money to Sunday school on a Sunday morning, right? Ah, there you go. And all of these things take the bread and make it a sandwich. All of these things take being smart and make it wise. And that is awesome. Here's the best part. Do you know what the Bible tells us is going to happen when we do these things? When we trust and we honor and we're faithful and we live with love, when we do that, we get this. They will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity. You know what prosperity means? It's all the good stuff will come to you. So you get more back. You get more love back and more joy back and all those things that will give you a good life. That's a great promise, isn't it? So let's pray about that. Let's pray to be wise as well as smart. God, thank you so much for showing us the way to live a life that is pleasing and good, and help us to learn to be wise. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 18. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over the new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he pleases in. Blessed be the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is no more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all the paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marty Meisner. I am many things, but first of all, I'm a father. Today, happy family day to all of you. Hopefully I can control this. Let's see if it works. There we go. Perfect. Put this down so I don't play with it. I see God in a lot of different ways. I see God in nature, or I see God as I read scripture. But one thing that I've come to see is that I've seen God at work, teaching me things, teaching me wisdom through my own broken family. Right? I have a broken family. It's totally messed up. I'm sure yours is perfect, but mine is not. Right? My dad, when I was young, left my mom. I was 2 years of age, and he decided to pursue other things in life. Didn't want to be a family man, and so he left and began to pursue his own life. We still stayed connected over the years. I lived in Welland. He lived in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And, you know, I would see him maybe once a week. He was present in my life enough that I knew who he was, but he was not the father that Scripture calls us to be. He wasn't that person that really did pass on good wisdom, that discipled me well, that showed me the good ways of this world, rather than those evil paths that go through our lives or can lead us astray. But I see God at work in this broken situation. My father, and now that he is in his mid-70s, maybe what, he was born in 58, so 1958, whatever the math is there. My father has come to the realization that his time is limited. He also knows that he has grandchildren who are here, and he wants to sort of redo what he had lost out on. He has a second chance now to pour into these young children's lives, to be present, and he is doing a do-over. Every day, almost every day, I should say, my father shows up in a car like this. It's an old Grand Marquis. This thing is huge. It's a boat. It's got a V8 engine and probably costs $500 to fill up right now. But each and every day, my dad faithfully brings me a coffee, whether I'm at the mission helping people to get food, whether I'm at home with my kids, or at home alone. My father will show up around this time, between 10:30 and 11:30, and he will have a coffee ready. And he'll sit in his car, and he will smoke his cigarettes. Depending on how long I'm there, it could be a one cigarette conversation or it could be a three cigarette conversation. But my dad faithfully comes out each and every day, shows up to be present, to ask me how life is, to sit in community. There's something to be said about my father's behavior, even though he wasn't present all the time. He has a redo. But he is faithfully showing up each and every day, trying to fill this relationship, build into this relationship, to show his grandkids who he is and to pass on the wisdom that he has to those who are coming after him. There is something to be said about persevering in our faith, persevering in our relationships, showing up, putting in the effort, putting in the time, whether we like it or not. Faith is something that when we wake up each and every day, our faith in God, whether it's a good day or a bad day, we should be showing up, walking the walk, and trying the best that we can to live a life that embodies God. And a lot of this takes work. A lot of this takes time, commitment. Even when we feel tired, we still come out to church. Even if we've had a bad week, we still wake up and have our study of Scripture, or do whatever fills us in our walk with God. We are continually showing up to be present, to be able to live that faith that God calls us to. I love the book of Proverbs. I've done extensive study on this book. And one of the things that I love is this image that we see at the beginning of the book of Proverbs. It's like a father that's gathering his children, or a Sunday school teacher right here that's gathering the children to tell them a story. A story that is going to provide them life, a story that is going to be able to steer them in the right direction so that they what? They can live a life that is good. We see this image of whoever is writing the book of Proverbs gathering these younger minds to say, here's what I've learned. Here's what I've seen. Here's what God has taught me. Now, please, please, if you have eyes to hear, or not eyes to hear, eyes to see and ears to hear, please follow these ways. But why does this writer want us to follow these ways? Number one, they've seen what life has brought. If it is King Solomon, in all of his wealth, within all of the things that he has, he comes back and says, hey, at the end of life, this is what really matters. At the end of life, here is what God is calling us. The book of Proverbs actually opens with a bit of a preamble, a prologue, and that prologue is repeated at the end of Proverbs. It's sort of like two bookends, right? Here's what the book is about. It says it right at the beginning, just like a good introduction. Here's what the book is about. And then at the end of the book, it says, here's what the book was about, right? It's a great book, especially for stupid people like me who don't always pick up on what God wants them to do. Proverbs reminds us what to do. And the purpose is for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealings, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach a shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and be discerning in acquiring skills. Understand a proverb and figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. But the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. All of this begins when we can acknowledge that God is God and we are sinners who have been saved solely by His grace. To admire, to acknowledge, to fear the Lord and put our trust in Him. As we look at Proverbs 3, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for sitting and listening to 18 verses. I believe that far too often we read too little scripture within public. I had the opportunity, so I compelled this person to read 18 verses. But in these 18 verses, we see this beautiful pattern that I want to point out. So we will see something encouraged, an action encouraged, and then we see a consequence that comes from it. Right? So when we do this behavior, this is what it's going to lead to. It says here, do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on tablets of your heart so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God. Well, so we need to be loyal and faithful to God. so that we will then also find favor with him. If we're disloyal, we're not going to find favor for them. The famous verse of 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? So we're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to place our faith in him. We're going to acknowledge him that he is God and we are sinners. And he will make our path straight. Right? If we acknowledge who God is and we place our trust in him, as we walk down the life path of life, his guiding spirit will make even the toughest road straight, easier to walk down, smooth, not huge hills, maybe a little, maybe there will be hills or valleys, but God will be the one that guides us through. Funny thing is, after 5 and 6, we see this transition, almost an opposite that is given. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How easy is that to do? I think that my way is the best, right? Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Points out that when we do our life the way that we want to, rather than God's ways, things are hard. It's painful. But when we turn to God, he's going to continue to heal and refresh our souls. Even as we walk through the valleys of life, even though we walk through the hardships that life presents us, God is going to continually refresh our soul. What a wonderful image. I'll finish off here with verses 11 and 12. We're starting to see the pattern. But it comes back to that idea of this father or this mother gathering her children. And it says, my children, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves, as the father, the son in whom he delights. As parents, as grandparents, we know that sometimes hard conversations lead to better behaviors. Sometimes it's hard to tell our children that they've done wrong, especially if in the way that we tell them. Sometimes we get frustrated and it comes out the wrong way. But why do I tell my son that they are wrong? Why do I tell my children that it is not nice or wrong to talk back to adults or to use silly language or to do behaviors that are unhelpful? It's not to be a bad dad. It's not to be a grump. It's not to be a bad parent. It's actually to be a good parent. Because I love my children enough that I don't want them to stray off the path. You know, I know that if they watch certain content on YouTube or movies, that junk is going to fill their minds and that's not good. So I'm going to set boundaries. I'm going to set rules and I'm going to say things that they may not like. It's not because I don't love them. It's actually because I love them. And I want them to live a good life. I love the image of a walk. It's one of my favorite images in all the Bible. As we read through Scripture time and time again, we hear about how faith can be a walk. Right? Even in the narrative, in the story, we see how Abraham was called to leave his whole family, to leave his support network, and to walk to somewhere that God would lead him. If that is not faith, what is? Imagine you are called today to get up and leave St. Catharines and go someplace you don't even know, leaving behind all of your family, all of your bank account, everything that you could have. You can only carry with what you have. And to go someplace unexplored that you don't know. That is a true walk of faith. And I'm sure that there are some people in this audience here today that had family members that had to do such a walk. My grandmother, who is in the Vineland home right now, her family had to get up and walk out of Russia. They were wealthier people. They had built a railroad. And because of that, the people in Russia didn't like them. During the Russian Revolution, they had to flee with only a few things in their hands. to go to somewhere safe. They really had no clue where they were going, but that was a walk of faith for them. Many people here in this room today have similar stories that connect with their relatives, being called by faith to step out and to go somewhere they did not know. But faith is about getting up each and every day, meeting with our Lord, just like I meet with my Father. Sometimes these are awe-inspiring moments. Maybe it's a church service that really speaks deeply to your life, resonates with the life issues that you're battling, and you feel at that very moment that God is speaking just to you. But I don't know about you, but many days it's not like that. Many days it feels like I just get up and I go through the rhythm and I go through the steps. But I know that faithfully as I string those days together, God is shaping my life. God is leading me down paths that are straight rather than crooked. Today is family day. I love my family. I love my kids. I have two children. Some of you may have met them. But one is Scott. Scott is 10 years age, and Jack is 12. And they teach me a lot about faith. You know, I joke often that who would have thought that a child would teach you so much? But I feel like it's this wonderful thing that God places into your life to teach you even more about what faith and life and parenthood looks like. My children truly test me. They test my patience. They test my bank account. They test everything and everything they can. But they also show me God in such a deep and profound way. They show me what God is calling me to do through their everyday small activities. My son Scott plays soccer. And he loves soccer beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's his life. But each and every day when Scott wakes up, one of the first things that he thinks about is doing his soccer drills or preparing in some manner for his soccer match, whether that's watching film from the last soccer game to pick up tips and tricks from the players that are better than him, or maybe that is, inviting a friend over to do some drills together. Each and every day when Scott gets up, he faithfully continues to pursue that skill, that thing that he loves so much. I believe that that's what God is calling us to in Proverbs. Each and every day as we get up, whether we feel good or we feel bad, we start to hone this relationship. We continue to pour into this relationship because of who God is. By doing this, we actually acknowledge that God is God and we are sinners. And through this persistent continuance of our faith in our lives, God continues to shape us and hone us and bless us with many gifts. It's easy for some people to point to this and say, well, prosperity is going to be money. No. Prosperity may be that our relationships are healthy, that we have a good rapport with our family. Some may look towards this and talk about riches being some financial windfall. Some of the richest people that I know in my life have very little money in their bank account. But when you look at their life, when you look at their relationships, when you look at the things that they have done in life, they are the richest people in the world. Many of my friends that are older and wiser are so, so wealthy. I am no longer a formal pastor, but I believe that I'm still a pastor in a sense. As pastors, we're actually paid to read, right? You know, Tim is paid for a portion of his week to read good books so that when he comes to speak to you, he can provide new insights or new stats. One of the best books that I've read in, not this year, but last year, was this book called Grit. Grit was a study done by a psychologist about how people succeed in life. One example they gave was they were mystified that when people would come to West Point, a military college, some of these people would be the best people in the world, the best people in the country. They would be football stars and academic stars and, you know, the best of the best. And yet, the first week into their assessment as a West Point candidate, guess what happened? These best of the best superstar athletes are the first ones to check out and say, I can't do this anymore. The people that you would think would make it to the end are not the people that make it there at all. And they ended up with this weird sort of category of these kids that had passion and perseverance. And that's what determined that they get through. They had the passion to reach the goal. They had this vision that they were going to become candidates. And each and every day they showed up, whether they liked it or not, to do the exercises or the things that needed to be done to achieve that goal. Another example was a swim star. And they would go through time and time again how the swim star would get up at 4 in the morning, whether he was tired, whether he had a late night, whether he had a good night. And he would go down to the pool and swim his laps. And not just swim through in a lackadaisical manner, but that he would continue to try and push himself so that he could be better. Isn't that what God challenges us to do? To each and every day that we get up to try and do the best that we can with the hand that we're given and walk hand in hand with him. Let's see. No. I stand in a room of many mature and wise Christians. I also stand in the room with people like myself that are continuing to grow. Right? We've all lived life. We have all had our experiences. And I'm sure today, if we reflect, we could see how God's hand has been leading us and shaping us. And we know that faith is about getting up each and every day and walking with our God. I love the clear and succinct passage that comes here in Micah 6, right? So the Israelites are asking the prophet Micah, what do we have to do to be in a good relationship with God? What do we have to do to be his people, to walk faithfully with him? I'll start reading a little bit before. It says in verse 3, O my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I weared you? Answer me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised and what Balaam son of Beor answered him. And what happened to Sittim in Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. So we have this pattern where God is reminding them, or the nation of Israel, what he has done for them. And now here comes the action. Just like in Proverbs, right? We had this action followed by the consequence. So in light of God's redemption, what does he require? It says here in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then the prophet Micah answered, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and here it is, to walk humbly with your God. Three simple yet very hard things to do. And I guarantee you that if you wake up each and every day and put your hand... Oh, that's bad. Don't worry. If you wake up each and every day and you put your hand in God's hand and you walk faithfully with Him, He is going to guide you down straight paths. You will live a life that when you die and pass on, your family, your children, your loved ones will look back and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you loved God, that you put your, what is it, you trusted in the Lord with all your heart and you led not on your own understanding, that you acknowledged Him in so many different ways that they cannot count. And through that, God gave you a life filled with blessing, filled with prosperity, filled with goodness. And it doesn't stop there. It goes on into eternity. So I challenge you, I challenge myself, to continue to put your hand in God's hand and trust in Him, lean into Him, and He will guide your path and make it straight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, once again I give thanks for today. I give thanks that even as I speak, I am being taught myself. I'm being encouraged to trust in You, to acknowledge You, because there's so much blessing, there's so much goodness that comes from that. Lord, thank You for each and every day surrounding us as Your children and continuing to pour out wisdom into our hearts and our minds and our souls. Continue to fill us as we walk with You. Continue to hold us up as we feel tired or weary. Continue to cheer us on as things go well. And through all of this, help us to continue to be faithful to You, to not be sucked in by this world and its ways, ways that seem faster or easier. Help us to fix our eyes once again on You, the author and perfecter of our faith, our Savior, our Lord. Bless us now and keep us as we go. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Marty, for joining us this morning. We invite you all to stand and sing with us our closing song, Build My Life.
I don't know what you face this week. I don't know what health challenges you have or messy family meetings that are coming up before you. But I do know one thing. Even if you didn't listen to me for the last 20 minutes, I want to give you this comfort, that you are not alone. It says here that when the disciples were meeting in a small room after Jesus had been crucified, he showed up and he said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If you follow Jesus, know that you are never walking alone. That you have within you the Holy Spirit that is going to guide and lead you and bring you all the blessings that God wants you. May you go in his peace, equipped with his Holy Spirit, being sent people this week. God bless you and keep you. Amen.